three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad. They're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Study Abroadcast. This is Chris Carlton here with John Morris. John, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Chris. Thanks.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're here. So tell me about a little bit about Citrus College and what you're doing down there and where it is, because I'm guessing it's a smaller school, right?
Yeah, it's a mid-sized community college for California. And we have a study abroad consortium. So I think we have 12 colleges in there now that are all over Southern California, you know, some in all the way down to San Diego and some into the desert, you know, Antelope Valley area.
Right. Yeah. Valley.
What we do is we have our, these are faculty-led programs. It's quite different than, at a CSU or UC, but there's benefits to doing it at the community college. For one, it's basically, it's a small program. We have two semester programs each semester, and we have two one-month programs. It's about it. Any specific questions about that?
No, that pretty much covered it. Now I know where Citrus is and what it's doing there.
And we're near Pasadena. So anyone can participate in our programs from, you know, any college student, but yes, mainly community college students from Southern California.
Okay, and then you studied abroad yourself, is that right?
Yes, I did. I did it through the CSU's, San Francisco State. So it's different than ours, because ours, like I said, they're faculty-led, and then the benefit for that is you can take our courses in other countries and get your GEs done and transfer.
Oh, wow.
Whereas when I did it, I studied at the University of Amsterdam through San Francisco State.
Okay.
And they had we're in classes with Dutch students.
Oh, wow.
And Dutch faculty, because they're so good at English.
Yeah.
They have portions of their university that are in English. So, but there are still even, you know, there's still a lot of similarities between our programs and those programs in some ways.
Right. And then I've got to ask, what did you guys do during quarantine? I'm assuming no one studied abroad. Did you find any projects or anything? Or can you tell me what quarantine was like at Citrus?
Yeah, well, basically everything's on hold. At first we started to plan, because we didn't understand the scope of the situation, and we thought we'd be back by now, you know?
Right.
But yeah, everything's on hold. I got moved into counseling. I have a counseling degree.
Oh, good for you.
So everything's been on hold, and, you know, I think we can start planning maybe for a fall 2022 pretty soon.
Yeah.
The community college is very cautious.
Rightfully so, but yeah, I know. It seems like every time we seem to be coming back, there's another flare-up. But at least the vaccinations are going around right now.
Yeah, I think the vaccine's going to change everything, and we can continue. Europe's looking pretty good. London's looking good with vaccinations.
Right, and those are two popular places.
Yeah, that's at Citrus College. That's our oldest program. So that's probably going to be the first one.
Okay, and what? How long ago was it that you studied abroad?
Oh, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was right after 9/11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. So, 2000.
That's kind of scary, yeah.
It wasn't scary. It was interesting. There was a few things going on at that time. I arrived the day the Dutch switched over to the euro.
Really?
So currency was called. And then I had that, and then like the next day I couldn't use it anymore.
That's awful. Yeah, that must have been a headache for you.
Go somewhere and exchange it, but it was weird, you know, everything turned to euro that day. And then there's a lot of questions from, because, you know, I was with other study abroad students from like Germany or wherever, Europe, mainly Europe, and they were like, oh, that was the 9/11 thing, you know, it was just like the topic.
Right.
So, yeah, different times.
Okay. And out of all the students that you see and that you counsel, what's the number one kind of outlying factor that stops them from studying abroad, would you say?
Well, it's money. Let's be frank. I mean, I understand. That was why I didn't do study abroad until, like, the end. Luckily, I had knocked out all my requirements pretty much, and it was an opportune time. But it's money, yeah, and it's you think you can't afford it, but it is affordable because there's resources, especially the community college students. A lot of them are eligible for a lot of financial aid and scholarships. And then there's grants and loans, which loans are, you know, you don't want to go too deep into loans, obviously, but for community college students, they're not using a lot of loans for their education because they're getting 2 years at a community college and then transferring usually to a CSU, which isn't too much. And then they have maybe the Pell Grant and the Cal Grant, some other grants.
Right.
So I think it's just like a cost-benefit thing that you have to get across to them. You know, yes, this costs money, but, you know, in the long run, it's going to be more beneficial. It's an investment in your future.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's good advice. Mm-hmm. It's really good advice. Yeah, I think a lot of people think it. You can get away with studying abroad for pretty cheap, and in some cases, you can do it cheaper than it would be to do it in your home country, or, you know, as much as a round trip flight. Like, you can kind of, you can nitpick it and really get it down to what you want.
Yeah, in my case, you know, it was pretty inexpensive through the CSUs because you can roll directly in the. There's an exchange. The CSUs have an exchange agreement with these other universities.
Uh-huh.
I basically paid my tuition to San Francisco State, and that was it. And I had to pay for housing, and then, you know, whatever fees. So it was pretty inexpensive to do it that way. Yeah, and then our programs are probably like a similar cost to that as well.
Okay. And what food do you miss most from your time abroad?
Well, you know, I did study abroad, but I lived in Japan for 9 years.
Oh, really?
So, like, my main memories abroad are in Japan, you know?
Right.
Dutch food. They had good cheese.
Yeah. Oh, is the sushi different there than it is here? I've always wondered that.
Well, I mean, in Los Angeles, we have a really great food situation happening, and we have a lot of Japanese Americans or Japanese immigrants. We have multiple Japan towns, you know, there's like,
right.
There's a little Osaka, now it's called Sawtelle Japan Town or something, I don't know, and then there's Japan Town, and then there's South Bay LA, which is, you know, there's a lot of Japanese people and companies there, so it's more expensive. And it's harder to find the good stuff, but there's really good Japanese food here. But I've been to other places in the country, and it's garbage.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense about the chefs coming over from Japan. So it's pretty authentic, I guess, on your side of the country at least.
It's just too expensive here. That's my complaint.
I know it's so expensive, sushi. I love it, but it's like it's way too expensive for me to get on a consistent basis.
Food in Japan, you know, it can be, but it's also like a blue collar food.
Right. You know? Yeah.
But here, everything that's Japanese, there's like a premium attached to it, and you pay more.
Right.
So I don't eat it that much here, but I do miss sushi, ramen, yakitori.
Yeah.
Really good food.
Yeah, it sounds good. Okay. And what would do you have any book recommendations?
Well, I mean, I do like I said, you know, my head is still like partly in Japan from being there so long, you know, I kind of like if I have it, it's like my adopted country, you know.
Yeah.
So I do like Japanese books and movies, and I guess the best Japanese book of all time is Musashi.
Musashi. Now, what's that?
Musashi's a ronin. He's like, it's a real guy from 15th century, 16th century Japan, 16th century. He's like a swordsman, you know, he's trying to become the ultimate swordsman, and he's traveling across Japan. He's meeting different characters, historical characters, but he's a real guy and he really existed. And this is a, you know, a fictionalized account of him, but historical fiction, I guess. But he also wrote his own book called The Five Rings, which outlines his like philosophy with life and, you know, swordsmanship. But I don't know, it's just a really good book if you like historical fiction and Japanese culture.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's always interesting when it's true, isn't it? A little more interesting, at least.
Yeah, it ties into, I don't know, if you like Japanese history, like, it ties into the first huge, like, shogunate thing. So it's really cool, yeah. Big fan of that book. It's huge. It's like the Bible, you know?
Yeah.
Take you and read it. It's a long epic.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I'll have to check that out, actually, because I was thinking about going to Japan at some point and might as well light a fire under my butt and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. And then if you want to know about modern Japanese authors, the most famous one is Haruki Murakami.
Okay.
You know, he's a great, all his stuff's translated into English, and it's like very interesting modern Japanese stuff. I don't know, it's just kind of a weird, I don't know what to compare it to, but yeah, Haruki Murakami, you look that up for weird, fascinating stuff, and more focused in Tokyo in the modern times.
Yeah, got it. I'll have to link to that in the show notes. And then, do you have any media recommendations other than Google, like an app, a blog, a website, or a podcast?
Well, the only, like, I mean, I like Duolingo, you know,
yeah.
For, like, it's so good to get started on a language. I guess that's the only travel, I don't really use, like, travel apps so much. Or blogs, I don't know, I just Google things. I'm not sure what students are up to, you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know, man. Sorry, I don't have a good answer for that.
No, that's fine. And then finally, what would you tell a student who's on the bubble about studying abroad? Like, what would you tell them to nudge them in the right direction and go?
You guys stay on the bubble, huh? We stay on the fence, usually.
Really?
Is that
it? It's interchangeable, I think.
Okay, I never heard that. Yes. Well, my I always tell them, like, this is the best time to do it as a student because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And you kind of, like, all right, this is the opportune time where you have these resources and this program's in place as a student to enable you to do this. And, like, later in life, you know, maybe you'll be able to travel and stuff, but a lot of people don't, you know. They don't have the time. We don't have a lot of vacation, and it could be something that's impossible, and doing it when you're young and as a student is something really unique. And I've never heard, you know, you talk about people thinking about taking loans to do this. I've never heard anybody, like, regret taking a loan or working hard to do this. Everyone's, you know, really happy with the experience they have, and it's something that you look back on, you know, your entire life.
Yeah, it truly is a once in a lifetime experience.
And the other thing is, you know, whenever I talk about it, there's always like the older faculty or whatever, older people, and they all regret not doing it. They're like, I wish I would have done it. I hear that all the time. So,
right.
The best time to do it if you're a college student.
Okay, yeah, that's well said, John. Thank you very much.
Yes, of course, yeah. No problem.
Anything else you want to add before we take off?
No, that's all. Hopefully we'll all be abroad again soon.
Yeah, right. Okay, this is me clapping. I've never done this before on a podcast, so I'm doing it right now. Thank you very much for sharing your experiences in detail.
Yeah.